Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. This week's question is, why do kids love to play about things that scare them? This is part of a longer question, so let me set up the scenario for you. The parent who wrote me has a five-year-old, and this five-year-old saw part of a scary movie when they were visiting cousins. It sounds like maybe it was a horror movie, but the parent didn't give a lot of details about it. In any case, the child is now obsessed with this movie, particularly in their play, like pretending to be the bad guy or pretending to run from the bad guy. But the child is also still clearly scared because they're having trouble sleeping and say it's because of the bad guy in the movie. So why is it that these themes keep coming up in their play? If they find it so scary, then why do they keep coming back to it? The parent says they try to distract their child when they're playing this way, but it doesn't seem to be going away. Well, I've seen this with other kids around sometimes real life scenarios, like a child who is scared of robbers at bedtime may always want to play robbers at recess. Or you might be seeing some of this coming up now with your own child around Halloween, like being scared of the decorations or the spooky stories, but also kind of obsessed with them. To understand what's going on here, we need to understand how children process things. We process things by talking, right? If we have a worry, we generally want to talk it out. Children do this too to some extent, but they don't always have the language for all the things that scare them, so they also process things through play. The younger they are, the more we'll see these themes, these anxious themes, show up in play. This is one reason why play therapists keep certain toys around. There are certain standard toys like a doctor's kit. Lots and lots of kids worry about the doctor, and so lots and lots of kids need to process those scary parts of it, like getting shots. And so doctor's kits give them a way to do that. I can't tell you the number of kids in my therapy practice who would spend the entire hour just giving me shots over and over again. They loved it. And they would direct me to be scared. They'd say, "You have to get a shot and you should be crying." This is the way they work to make sense of it and also to give themselves some control over it. Learning that we have control over our lives is one way we learn to manage our anxiety, especially about what is not controllable. When children play with things that scare them or make them anxious, it helps them to explore it under their own steam. If a thing has happened to them and they didn't expect it or welcome it, like a scary movie or the sudden appearance of an animatronic witch in the yard of the house next door, talking about it helps them process and move through it. But play is really where they're able to dig in and expand on that. Just like we may need to talk about it so much that we start to bore our friends or even ourselves, children can also get stuck in their play and may need our help to move on. They may need us to help solve the problem that they're repeating. So how can you tell? Given that repetitive play, like giving your play therapist a million flu shots, can be part of processing, how can we tell that they're truly stuck? Well, for one, you should look for small changes in the play. It can be really small. They may up the ante, like they begin to give the shots more ferociously. That's actually pretty common. They'll start by giving me shots, and then the shots get meaner and harsher and more intense. Or they may start explaining more ahead of time, like offering more sympathy or offering some comfort. So they may shift to explaining to me why I need to have the shot, or they might start offering a Band-Aid. Even small changes show that they're working with their fear and exploring its limits and its control. The second thing to look for is, what is their attitude about the play? Do they seem like they're having fun? Are they gleeful? Or are they worried? Do they seem more upset after playing? Or do they seem relieved and ready to move on? If they seem controlled by the play rather than controlling it, that's also an indicator that they're stuck. This is a child who seems compelled to do the play, who doesn't seem to enjoy it, but is coming at it with an almost workmanlike attitude when it seems like perhaps they'd like to do something else. If they don't seem stuck, if their play seems enjoyable to them, if they're mostly having fun, and if you see changes, however small, then likely they don't need our help. But what should we do if they do seem trapped in their play? Well, then you can do things to help them get unstuck. You can show them a way out. In the therapy room, I had a whole set of toys that represented typical childhood fears, like skeletons and mean guys and spiders and zombies. And kids love to put those things in jail or bury them in the sand tray and put the lid on top. I can remember working with one child that it was almost like a ritual that they would come in and choose the mean guys that then we would take out of the playroom and put inside my filing cabinet. They liked being able to take them out of the room, take them into another room, put them in a thing that locked and locked them away. Eventually, they were able to loosen up as part of their progress in their therapy. One thing I want to mention is that sometimes anxious play can be upsetting to us, their parents. For example, a child may connect more with a bad guy. They may want to be Darth Vader in the big good versus evil battle. We might worry, why are they identifying with the wrong side? Well, the answer to that might be as simple as, Darth Vader is kind of cool. He's got a great voice and he's got a cape. It also might be that pretending to be the thing that scares us is a great way to master that fear. Pretending to be the robber means the robber can't scare you anymore. It's just another way to process things from a different side. This is also why at certain ages kids might be obsessed with fighting or weapons. They're trying to feel safe. Play is a safe way to practice feeling safe, and it's imaginary. Remember that. It's no more an expression of real wants and wishes than our watching Breaking Bad is a sign that we want to cook meth. Adults play via video games, via TV shows, and reading books. That's how we stretch our imaginations. And kids play by playing. Play, as long as no one is getting hurt, should have free range. That means no one has to play when they don't want to. No one should be forced to play in a way that they don't like. But if everyone is safe and having fun, then it's fine. We adults sometimes get hung up on play, about what it means, about how it's happening, about whether or not we approve of the themes, but we need to recognize that play is a way that children work through tough issues, and we need to let kids do the things that they do. Now, one thing though, when we say, quote, fun in regards to play, it kind of diminishes the importance of play. I think I should use the term satisfying instead of fun. Play is truly a child's work. It's how they process and experience and learn to manage the great, big, complicated world they're living in. It is vital, especially open-ended play that they fully control. And it's often outside of the understanding of adults who want play to be clean and clear and, I guess, kind of nice. Play is not always nice. It's serious. It's important. And it matters to children deeply. If you want to read a good description of play, check out the third chapter of the book Ramona the Brave by Beverly Cleary. It's a great book about child anxiety. If you haven't read it or don't remember, it's the one where Ramona is afraid of a gorilla without bones. And the description of Ramona and her buddy Howie playing Brick Factory is a terrific reminder of what play can be. I'll leave you with this short description of their play. Quote, "Brick Factory is a simple but satisfying game. Each grasped a rock in both hands and with it pounded a brick into pieces and the pieces into smithereens. The pounding was hard, tiring work. Pow, pow, pow. Then they reduced the smithereens to dust. Crunch, crunch, crunch. They were no longer six-year-olds. They were the strongest people in the world. They were giants. That's what play means to your child and to every child, and most especially to anxious kids. Play is a way to become powerful." Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.